Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're circling back to a topic we promised to explore. Are we born with purpose?
Another just very easy, simple question that obviously two marketers should be able to answer in less than an hour, right?
Well, hopefully by now, people that are listening have at least learned something about us. We don't do much of anything halfway. So Right. When we ask ourselves questions for podcast episodes, we choose the most difficult things to talk about that, yeah, to your point, mm-hmm. are maybe impossible to talk about in an hour. But here we are. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, let's do it anyway, right? Yeah. So when this originally came up in an episode, and the right thing for a professional podcaster to do would be able to tell you the name of that episode. And here we are. But it came up in a previous episode.
And we'll reference it later. It's fine.
Yes. I happened to be listening to part of that yesterday reading through the transcript as I was working on the book. And I was reminded of the fact that I do want to point out at length, discuss the fact that we're going to have this conversation. And then it just slips my, like, it's gone once we have recorded it. So I reinvigorated the conversation. And because we wanted to explore it more, because we didn't really agree.
Right.
And the one thing I remember about the podcast it was in is, we were doing that podcast because we didn't agree on something. So I think what this tells us is that we are very open to giving the listening public the same experience as the people who work with us every day, which is listen to Ben and Sue hash out things that they disagree on.
Yes. And like our team, I hope benefits from every now and then.
Right.
I hope that they benefit from hearing the conversation, learning about how we're thinking of things critically, maybe coming to the middle ground on things, maybe one of us admitting, you know what, you're right, let's do it that way. Okay. I don't know if we'll end up there today. We'll see. But, you know, when we talked about recording the podcast this way to help support, you know, this content and our book and everything, that was one thing that we mentioned, right? Like, there's going to be some things that we just have to talk about. We're going to have to talk about anyway. Why not share that part of the journey with folks? And like you mentioned, as you started talking, create a record of what we've been talking about so that we can come back to it when we, you know, need a nudge to keep us moving on something that we're working on, or gosh, who knows, even like to listen back to it and be like, yeah, I don't know if I agree with that anymore.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I've changed. I've learned something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we originally talked about it, what we arrived at is that I believe you are born with your purpose. And Ben, what do you believe?
Well, I think that you... build it, discover it, change it as you have life experiences and other things to inform it, which I've got a big, strong case prepped to defend my theory here. Good. So buckle
Fantastic.
Up.
Fantastic. Did you do debate in high school?
No. We didn't really have debate, like formal like debate club or anything.
Okay.
But you know, I was a big FFA kid and we had some speaking contests and things like that okay. I think you got some similar experiences out of
okay.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do any of that. I was a drama kid and so I just get dramatic and shout at people and then I wait for the curtain to close and then I walk away.
Right.
And
the best part, the walking
get
away.
Pizza.
Yeah.
And that is how I handle all of my arguments.
Right.
So I think the best way for us to move forward is just to lay out why we think the way we do and then discuss both sides.
Right. Sounds good to me.
So
let's go.
Yes. So Ben won the coin toss.
Yep. No. Winner goes first. So I'm going to start. And I've packaged this up into four actually, like, I kind of surprised myself preparing for this episode a little bit. I summarized it into four relatively well articulated thoughts, I think, with some points behind it. I guess we'll see if I can deliver my notes into that podcast episode. But so here we go. I think that purpose evolves with growth. I think that you, I don't think there's any denying you develop new perspectives, new interests, new skills, right? I mean, skills maybe being the most obvious thing. We as humans learn a lot over our time here on the planet, but also like the things that we were interested once upon a time might go away or definitely will change or at least grow, right? You'll be interested in more things as you learn more about the world. But then I think both of those things, skills and interests, and probably a lot of other things too, shaping and changing and evolving your perspectives on things in life, everything from the big heavy stuff to the small day-to-day stuff that maybe we do mindlessly now. So all of that changes, all of that grows. And I think that your purpose grows or evolves right along with that stuff as life goes on. Life experiences shape our values, which inform our purpose or help guide our purpose, help change it as we go forward. So significant events, both good ones and bad ones, can really help clarify what matters the most to you. We've all, whether we realize it or not, we've all been through something that, dare I say, we would call traumatic, even if, you know, you maybe haven't, you're young enough or gosh, who knows, just lucky enough to not have experienced something heavy like a death or a significant injury or, you know, something happening to a loved one, a natural disaster, whatever, all of those big, heavy things that can happen. But we've all experienced things that I would still call traumatic, which, you know, for some people might be like breaking up with their first boyfriend, partner, whatever, right? You know, so, and we learn from that. Those are life experiences that, you know, maybe you were with that someone because you shared something. Maybe you thought you liked or appreciated something about them, but you know, because of this something that changed and this hypothetical breakup that happened, you changed too. You know, you realize, you know what, that thing that I thought I loved about them, that thing that I thought we had in common, like I don't care about that anymore, or that was fake, or you know, whatever the reason is, you know. So I guess what I'm getting at without getting stuck on this hypothetical relationship, and I swear this is hypothetical. I'm not,
this isn't a therapy session
for me. I promise everyone.
Okay.
But what I'm getting to is like, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've experienced and how you might define something as big and heavy, we've experienced big and heavy things. And I guess I went to negative, examples, which maybe is just human nature, but you know, we've also experienced big positive things that you know, really shape your values and what you care about, and I think that also plays a huge influence on your purpose. I'm halfway through my list of four. Anything you want to say or debunk?
I don't. Here's the thing, as so often happens. I don't directly disagree with some of the things you're saying.
Yeah.
I think that what you're talking about is that inherent evolution of us as human beings. Ideally, ideally you evolve as you grow. Yeah. And I think, you know, not to go back and dwell on the negative, I think there are people that don't, that push, you know, fight against that evolution for whatever reason. So I don't want to grossly overstate that everyone evolves, but ideally you learn, you uncover insights as you learn and you evolve and grow. So that we are definitely on the same page with.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I continue to be, which you will very clearly see once we get to my very intelligent bullet points. And also, by the way, let me just pause to say, I am not surprised. You said you were surprised that you were put these all together so cogently, and I am not surprised by it at all. You, this is absolutely the kind of excellent work you do every day. But anyway.
Well, Well, maybe since we're at a break in my thoughts, it's a good opportunity for us to regroup a little bit so that we actually get somewhere in this conversation and not just settle on us each sharing our own content. But the answer we're trying to get to is purpose something that you learn or grow into or obtain in life, or is it something you're born with, right? So I think my points I'm definitely sharing from the aspect of you learn it, you, period.
Right.
So my last two are that learning reveals potential. And I think that this one might be the point that I think is most solid for my case, that it's something that purpose is something that you learn, because learning reveals this potential in yourself. And this could be through, you know, higher education or education of any kind, really, I suppose, hobbies, or even, you know, and some of the stuff that will be included in the book, like some self-discovery, you know, related to purpose, or, you know, self-discovery anywhere else in life that you make the opportunity to do that. Before we gain these things, education or experience these things like hobbies or self-discovery, it's almost like the old, like, you don't know what you don't know. So like, I feel like it's almost impossible for you to be born with a purpose because you don't know that you should have one. You haven't learned enough. You haven't experienced enough of like life and the world and yourself and everything that, like, how could you, you know, have this purpose without these other things that are part of like the human experience in life to tell you that this is what your purpose is or what it should be or what you're trying to make it, you know, whatever. So,
you know,
I'll get off.
Can we dwell on that for just a little bit? It is interesting the way that you point that, you know, that how can you be born with it because you haven't learned anything, you don't know things. Because my immediate reaction to that is, you know, I have adult kids, and my kids have been the same people since we could see what their personality was, right? And probably before that. So that was not, that's not a personality that was formed by going to school, having a lot of social interaction. You know, that is a personality that formed right away. I can't tell you. Yeah, because you know, obviously for a baby, most of those first few months are eating, sleeping, and pooping. But I would definitely say that they are the people that they were when they were born. And their life experiences have helped them make choices, turn them in different directions, but it hasn't changed innately who they are. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. I might just be digging my heels in a little bit and fighting for my side of this argument.
Go for it.
But like my initial reaction, and this, no disrespect to you as their mother who knows them very well, but like my initial reaction to you wants to be, prove it. Like, how can you possibly know who they were when they were born, when they were young, and who they are now? And the fact that through line is like consistent enough that it hasn't changed. And also, like, would they say the same? You know, like, I'd like to have them part of this exact conversation right now. And like, would they agree with you, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe, again, as their mother, and you know them very well, maybe you in this moment could say, like, absolutely, they'd agree with me. They're freaking better.
But is my entire parenting style. So you have pointed out exactly what I would do. But yeah, it is. Well, I don't know how I prove it to you,
right?
You know, quantitatively. But you know, the things that I am talking about are innate personality traits that you could observe when they were very, very young, and that they still have today. So I believe, although, my kids are my kids and they are just as stubborn as I am, I believe that if we press them, maybe some of it would take a little convincing, because they're, if they agreed with you, they're also very bullheaded and they would fight me too. But it's empirically true in my mind that there are things about them that have never changed.
Yeah.
And to be clear, good things about them.
Yeah, sure.
That have never changed.
Yeah. I'm not going to get stuck on this, but I feel like we're talking about personality traits and not purpose, like the question that we're trying to answer here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't doubt at all that there's things that people are born with, like personality traits that will never change. Some people are who they are and there's no escaping it, you know?
Yeah. Well, so the reason it's pertinent, once we get into my incredibly well-developed thesis, is that I believe that there are just some things that, you know, we are innately. Yeah. And those things inform your purpose. Those things are, you know, your purpose is woven through them. So that's why I dwell on it. Because that is, it does, like, it teases my argument.
Actually, it
doesn't tease it. It just straight up makes it part of my argument.
Yeah. Okay, so you've completely hijacked my section of the argument. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. It's, you know, and there are no fact checkers here, so I have nobody to turn my mic off.
Yeah.
We are.
nice. Okay. Last one for me is that relationships offer perspective, whether that's the people you meet, like friends, mentors, maybe even strangers. They can introduce you to ideas, maybe new sets of beliefs, or give you opportunities that shift your understanding of what you think you're supposed to do in the world, what your purpose is, what you're meant to be, you know, all of that. So again, maybe just another part of the human experience, unless you're Mowgli from the Jungle Book and you grow up in the jungle and never meet another human. But even then, we know that Blue influenced the heck out of that guy. So
I was just going to say, but you do get to sing songs with bears.
Right.
So there, you have that.
Yeah. Before you share, and I think that you, your last point that kind of like made your argument, or at least teased your argument, like this idea of like purpose being woven through all of these other things in life, personality and all of that. That is definitely like, I don't know, it's maybe opening me up to saying like, yeah, you know what, Sue, maybe you're right. Or maybe opening me up to saying like, gosh, maybe we're even saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're leaning a certain way or getting too stuck on like the structure of it all, but we might be actually talking about the same thing. So I don't want to like spoiler alert and say that that's where we're going to wind up after you talk, but it's got my wheels spinning, I guess is all.
Okay, good. And you know what? That's what we're here to do.
Right.
Is get our wheels spinning. Okay. So here are my, my bullet points. And I have to remember now, I'm working very hard because a fourth one came to mind. And I want to make sure that I have the mental capacity to remember that that fourth one came to mind. So number one is we very early on in this process, as we were starting to explore what is purpose, what do we mean by it, what are we talking about, why do we need it, we stumbled across, embraced the concept that a sense of purpose improves your mental and physical health. And I think a thing that we have agreed on sort of all along is that if you are seeking purpose or rooted in purpose, it improves your success in a lot of ways. So when we talk about purpose in terms of a business plan, you know, strategic objectives, those things, being rooted in your North Star improves the likelihood that you're going to have positive outcomes. And we know that it is the same for us as individuals, knowing who you are, why you're here, what you should be, you know, the things that feel true to that purpose help us to maintain stability in our lives. They help keep us, they help that aspect of our mental health stay at an even kilter. And so I think that's a really important component of this, it starts somewhere, right? And if you think, you know, think back to when you were a little kid and you broke the cookie jar, right? So you're an honest little kid, you break the cookie jar, you try and hide, your first instinct is like, I'm going to hide the pieces of the cookie jar. I'm going to tell mom I didn't know that I broke the cookie jar. You know, you're sort of having that first foray into being just a real little turd. And hopefully when you do that, and I believe this is, if you didn't experience this in real life, I believe this is how you as a child would have reacted to it because you're a highly ethical person. You convict yourself of that crime, right? And you feel that, so you know innately that the feeling of not following your purpose, your values, however you put that label on there, feels gross. Mm-hmm. And you know it from very early on. I know you have a 2-year-old at home, so I will not, we won't explore why 2-year-olds do things deliberately naughty and look you straight in the eye and the possibility that they are little psychos. But the time does come when you realize, you know, if I'm working in contrary to what I believe is right and good and helpful and useful, it feels bad to me. So I think that is wound up in purpose, that you are traveling away. You're taking a journey away from where you should be, and, call it whatever you want, your soul, your conscience, you know, is convicting you of that transgression. Wait, before I go on, because the next one like goes straight science. I really think I bring a metaphysical viewpoint to this. But because I experience life just, you know, from metaphysical perspective, that there are things larger than us.
Sure.
There are, you know, call it your higher power, call it the universe, call it God, whatever that thing is, that helps guide us, mm-hmm. That is woven in purpose as well.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, that without being born to purpose, it makes, to say it just makes me sad to think that there's a possibility there's no purpose is probably diminishing how it makes me feel, right? That sure. creates an existential crisis in my mind that like this has to be for a reason. We have to be functioning for a reason to me. So that metaphysicality that's nothing what I just said, but that sort of viewpoint is probably is what makes me want to fight so hard for this view that we're born to it. Questions, comments about that before we move on to the strict science?
Yeah, no questions, no comments. Maybe, well, a comment, I guess an argument. And I don't know if I'm just playing devil's advocate or if I'm really concerned about fighting for my side of this thing, but I don't disagree with anything that you said. And I agree, like I have a similar belief in that, like we're here for a reason and all of that. And I think that I still stand by everything I've said where we just, I'm really stuck on this comparison to the whole concept of you don't know what you don't know. And I just think for so long in our lives, either because of a lack of experience, education, all of the things that I talked about earlier, and or even the physical side of it, like the lack of a developed brain, like how could we understand something as heavy and deep and complex and always evolving as purpose?
Yeah. I think outside of this argument, if you just asked me that question, my answer would be, well, we start to seek it as soon as we can.
Yeah.
As soon as we are ready, we start to, and when we talk about seeking it, what we're doing is revealing it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, the thing is, if I let me put my empathy shoes on and
put myself
in the shoes of a newborn who will never know what they think their purpose is because they can't speak it or articulate it, they've definitely got a purpose right out of the bat, or at least a mission, right? And it's something rooted in survival, you know, food, sleep. So maybe just because at this point in our lives, or, you know, even like rewinding to the point where we do start to seek it, like you said, that gap between birth and the first intentional seek, because we have some awareness of it, it's not absent of purpose. It's just impossible to understand because of a lack of life experiences, a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, development, all of these physical things too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, think about what a lot of people go through as teenagers and, you know, preteens, teenagers, even into young adulthood, where, you know, you try in all of these different personas and you try to do different things and you sort of pick up those different, like those different versions of you from wherever you can find them. And that is, that's seeking purpose. That's looking to uncover
who
you are, what you do, what you're intended to do. And I think we continue to do that until it reveals itself to us.
Yeah.
You know, or, and not in, you know, as long as I went like super metaphysical, I don't mean that one day you walk into a forest glade and there, and the fae folk come and reveal your purpose. I mean, exactly, you know, the sorts of things you're talking about. Something monumental happens in your life and you realize, oh, everything from this point on is different.
Right.
And what am I going to do about that? And part of the, you know, either the healing or the incorporating of that into your knowledge base or whatever you have to do after those monumental things happen, starts to sort of gel around what that, what your purpose becomes.
Yeah.
What your purpose has always been. Do you know what I'm? Yeah. I think we're sort of dancing around this same thing. And I have a funny feeling that we're going to end up in a similar space, as the last time we had this kind of discussion where we find out at the end, like, we're just sort of talking about two different things.
Yep. I was just going to say two things. I'm going to say one, I think everything that we've talked about in the last few minutes also really solidifies this concept maybe I could even say truth, that your purpose changes, it evolves, you know. Everything that we just said backs that up. And number two, exactly to what you were just saying, I think we're maybe talking about two very closely related things, but just different enough that makes us want to like fight for our side of it. And I think maybe what I'm fighting for is the understanding or the concept of when one might have or understand, or when someone might have an understood purpose or a known purpose, you know, because I think there's just a good amount of our life, maybe even up to a certain age or before an, a life event where you have to actually think about it. You know, there might be purpose, even something that's like semi-understood. Like, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm here, whatever, but you haven't really done the work to understand it. So like if someone asked you at that point in life, pre whatever it is that helps you fully understand it, you might be able to give them an answer like, yeah, my purpose is this, but you still, and I suppose you're not wrong, because you are who you are and you know what you know at that moment in time that someone would ask that question. But, you know, have you really, like, have you done any self-reflection to know whether or not what you just said is true? Have you experienced anything in life that would debunk what you think your purpose is right now? And I think that you don't have an understood purpose until you've been through something like that. Something, I don't mean to go like, I don't mean to make it sound like it has to be dramatic or traumatic, you know, super, super bad, super terrible, or super, super good. But something more than just like, yeah, a kid took the ball away from me today and now I feel sad about it. Like, sure, that made you sad, but that's not a traumatic life event. That's not a super celebratory life event that's going to make you like understand who you are and why you exist and all of that, you know? So anyway, I'm way down in the weeds, but I do think we're coming to agreement that what we're talking about are maybe two things that are just different enough to make us, you know, feel like we're on the other side of things when really,
yeah,
I think we're closer to on the same page than maybe I thought we were coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that so often the case? So let me, I'm going to throw my last two bullet points here because I want to make sure I say them, but also I want to quickly get them out of the way so we can get to that, like, what is it we're talking about thing. There's science, there is some scientific belief that purpose has served an evolutionary advantage. And here's a fun fact. I didn't learn about evolution in school. So anytime I talk about evolution, it is like a third party understanding of evolution. So if I ever get anything wrong, did you learn evolution in school?
No. I mean, we learned about Dickens, but
about Darwin?
Or Darwin. Not Dickens. Learn about Dickens too. We did learn about Charles Dickens too, but Darwin, yes. Thank you. So sorry. Okay. But yeah, I feel it in my memory. Shoot, man, that was a long time ago. Okay. A blip on the radar in my complete education, you know.
So. Okay. Okay. Well, I didn't even learn about Charles Darwin in school. So I believe in evolution. I just can't tell you. I'm an expert having learned it. Anyway, so there's some scientific belief that purpose has served an evolutionary advantage. So the way that I understand that is that part of purpose helps us build community. It makes us seek something larger. And in order to fulfill that search for something larger, we need community to support us and to support community. There is an evolutionary advantage to forming communities. And the people that did that are the people that survived.
Right.
So it began as an evolutionary advantage, and we have continued it. Right. And I think that there are probably some people who, for whatever reason, don't innately have that evolutionary advantage now. And those are, you know, those are probably people that struggle very badly and, you know, maybe have a mental illness that needs to be, you know, that needs treating and attention in order for them to survive and thrive.
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. So there's that. And then we talked to Christine Whelan, who is the purpose professor.
Mm-hmm.
And her definition of what she calls the purpose mindset is that it's about using your gifts in alignment with your values. So actually circling back to talking about my point about my kids and the things that were innately a part of who they were from as long as I can remember them till now. I would define some of those things as their gifts. I think there are also some things, you know, when we think about gifts, I would place my particular brand of neurospiciness, my attention deficit issues, in that gift area, right? So I was born how I was and the way how I am and the way that my brain works is the way that my brain has always worked. And it's not well suited for math because math takes a linear amount of attention in order to get the right outcome reliably. And that is not what my brain does for me. What its strength is making connections and making them relatively quickly,
mm-hmm.
In a non-linear way, right? Yeah. So that is an innate skill. I can't change it. I can't deny it. And the thing that has made me successful in my life is following it. So I was born with that skill. And if I am born with the skill to do what I do, like what I do in my job today, how can I not be born with purpose? I was born uniquely suited to do something. And as long as I am aligning that with my values, which I am fortunate to be able to do, my values are to be able to help people, to be able to see improvement, right? For our clients, for the people I've helped, for, you know, when I worked in credit unions, for credit union members. So how is that not proof, right? That has been in me my whole life.
What about learning, though? Because it's not impossible for you to learn how to use the skills you do have or develop, you know, the skills, the muscle memory, whatever it is that might be needed to crush math.
It feels impossible, but.
Yeah. And it might be, I mean, to be fair, I don't mean to embarrass you or be offensive to like your... you know, known skills or things that maybe you've struggled with, whatever. But also we know that you can learn.
Right. Right. I think this is the spot where we start to see where our two concepts diverge a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that the best way I can describe the way I see this working in reality is that we carry a certain set of innate skills, not skills to do things like tie your shoes or
do math,
create Google ads or, you know, whatever else those skills, not those kinds of skills. We carry, certain set of innate skills with us from birth, you know, things that we are uniquely by virtue of, you know, how we are put together, able to do. And everything that we apply those skills to learn, to do better, it is the next level of expressing those skills or your purpose, right? We are applying that to something. So yes, you can absolutely learn to do things. Because, you know, make no mistake, I'm not saying I was born with the purpose to be a marketer. I was born with a brain uniquely suited to do some of the things that we do in marketing, right, but also some of the things that I did in training and in other jobs I've had.
Go ahead. As I'm pushing back on what you're saying and stuff, I think I'm reminding myself, or getting even more confirmation that I think we're talking about two different things, and just to like put a label on it to maybe help me understand it, and to not want to fight anymore, Sue. I don't like fighting with you.
And here's where we're different, because I freaking love fighting with you.
Yeah, I know. Well, we do get some cool stuff done when we fight. And fight's not the word that we're talking about, but you know what I mean. Bear with me as I try to label what you're talking about. You're talking about like a organic purpose, or like a, I don't know, something that like comes from this deep space within, and is always with you. And I think I'm talking about that again, I guess back to my original term, that understood purpose. But what I actually think I want to change it to is a term that Christine used when we talked to her, is that purpose mindset. I think that that's something that I think that's more in line with what I'm talking about. Something that you, like, the very first thing you need is understanding of what purpose even is, who you are as a human, what you're good at, and all that stuff. So, like, I'm starting there instead of starting maybe further back in the journey of life, to where you're just kind of born with some stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's about the applying that purpose to affect the things around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, the only reason I think that this is an important distinction is that, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to make sure people understand when we're talking about purpose, that your response can't be, well, I don't have a purpose. Because you do.
Yeah.
You're here, you know, and you were born with an innate set of skills that maybe you just have not uncovered yet. Or, you know, you have had situations in your life that have buried them deeper.
Yeah.
So, like, baseline, I want to make sure everyone understands that this pursuit of their purpose and understanding it is for everyone.
Right. Yep.
And number two, when we start to talk about this idea of it changing throughout your life, I don't think everyone experiences that the same way. I think what you are focused on, what you're consumed by, what you're committed to changes throughout your life. But that what people will experience is, if you focus in a way that is true to your core purpose, that has a much bigger ability to make an impact. And that, I think, is the sweet spot for your mental and physical health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel great right now.
Yeah.
Do you feel good? Because I think this is good.
Yeah, I think even though, like, maybe the bulk of the episode felt like we were on opposite sides of things or far enough apart from each other, I feel like we've come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that we wanted to pose ourselves today was, do we need to agree? Does it even matter if we do? And I do think that it does matter, because I think if we really were like talking about the same exact thing and had a completely different theory on it, like I would almost even say like, that might be time to like pull the ripcord and either like just completely write two separate sections of this book and make it very clear we're sharing how we feel about this. Or just stop altogether, I guess, which I don't want to do. And I think that that's not where we're at. I think that we are in agreement and that we can actually share. I think that this example that we're talking about maybe the two different phases of purpose or those labels I tried to give it, mm-hmm. which we'll write in a better way. I think that talking about those two things can help help people understand it and help people define their own and
right.
explore themselves a little further and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it would be really interesting to, you know, sort of do this thought experiment of how different people experience that fluctuation in the purpose mindset, because I think that you will find, and the example, spoilers for the book, the example I was using, as I was writing some stuff yesterday was Jane Goodall, because I don't know, to me, she personifies that singular kind of purpose.
Sure.
And I think some people find it early and it only expands throughout their lifetime.
Yeah.
And I think other people sort of evolve through multiple different things and multiple different areas of their life. And number one, probably the most important thing to say is there's not a wrong way for you to experience that stuff.
Right.
You don't have to be Jane Goodall to be right, quote unquote, about how you experience purpose.
Yeah.
But if you are, you know, if you're really chugging through all of these different things, you know, and feeling some emotional, I don't know, misalignment, or if it doesn't feel good to be chugging through all of these, like trying all of these different purposes, and it starts to make you feel manic about it, then that's a thing to examine. Then maybe that's, you know, maybe you're not hitting the note you need to hit to have harmony in your life. That was not bad, what I just did.
Yeah. Right. Love it.
Yeah. Hey, we do good work, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's
I
next?
Think we got there. So we got to write this book. I know I always say that, but yeah. I think what's next is to explore how we explain sort of these two different kinds of purpose, or the intersection between these two things, and and get it down on paper.
Yeah, I feel like we're talking about two stages in purpose or something, because I think purpose is purpose. But we're just talking about like pre-discovery, post-discovery, or something like, I don't know. We'll workshop that. We'll get that written out, and readers will get to see the end product, and maybe they'll be curious enough to come back to this episode and hear the guts behind it, like how we got to it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, no matter what, whether you come back to this or not, we are excited that you're here with us on this journey. This is one of my favorite things that I've ever done professionally. And I've learned a lot.
That's awesome.
And you, speaking of learning things, you, listener, can always learn more about us at our website. That's exclamationcuso.com. Or you can always find us on your favorite podcast app. Look for Awesomology.
You got it. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome, and we'll see you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.